Truck Chat Freestyle for October 20th, 2010. Good day, good evening, good night, good afternoon, wherever you are. It seems to be that stretch of road in Milwaukee where I do a lot of my podcasts, and this is, I don't know if I've ever done more podcasts in a single stretch of road far away from home. I am on the road from Appleton to Chicago, just on the south side of Milwaukee, passing out of town this time. I guess the last few trips that I did this, was that April 2009 when I was doing the training for the National Park Service to do podcasting. I was headed the other direction, and I think there was a conference or get-together or something or other. Anyway, Freestyle is an audio blog of things on my mind, sort of a podcast behind the podcast, and some news there for you about more podcasts. It is about 10:40 p.m., very late, very late. So I am talking to you to keep myself awake on this last leg of the journey from Appleton to Chicago. I am on my way there to do a presentation tomorrow morning for the Chicagoland HDI chapter. Coming up on, I think, Ryan Road. Big truck stop on that road. Been there forever. And pardon the scatterbrain thoughts. I'm going to try and hit every bullet item that's in my head while I drive along, dark, tired, kind of cold. It's all of about 48 degrees, which is almost 10°C. But HDI is the formerly the Help Desk Institute, and there's a chapter in Chicago. This drive is a bit familiar because we were just down here Saturday. I was with down here with my VP of Communications, Bob Worry. I am the president of our local chapter in the Fox Cities and Green Bay area. That was as of May. I was formerly the VP of Communications, and he was formerly the president. Not like a, you know, closed election or anything, but we've had a number of officers and whatnot that have changed seats. As I mentioned, formerly Help Desk Institute, they are now branching out and focusing on all the Tier 1 and Tier 2 support for IT professionals. I got involved with this when I started on my former role as the service desk manager at Plexus, and I am no longer in that role, but I am in the industry and still participating actively as the VP of Communications, or excuse me, as the president, and very rewarding. The Chicagoland chapter, as I mentioned, Bob and I were down here Saturday for a regional officer summit. This is where the officers from the area, Indianapolis, Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Detroit, even as far away as Pennsylvania, in our region, Midwest region. I believe there are 10 chapters. I could be wrong on that. It could be as high as 16. I forgot what the number was. Phil Gerbyshek, whom I've known for a number of years, is our regional director. He was the Brew City or the Milwaukee president for a number of years and has ventured off on his own to do his own thing. And Saturday we got together, had an all-day seminar. Bob and I got up at 3 a.m. Actually, I think he got up a little earlier because he had to get from Green Bay to Appleton. And then we met at 4 a.m. at the IHOP and drove down so that we could be here for the 8 a.m. conference. I think there were 18 of us, a little light on the turnout. Got together, talked about what works, what doesn't, and I did a little bit on, what did I talk about? Oh, just, we brainstormed and shared ideas. Oh, I know, I did a thing on the different technologies that the chapters use for collaboration. We had brainstormed and then I just did the presentation. So I really didn't have to do anything major there. And then it was done by about 4:30. We drove home, got home about 9. And then again, Bob had to go a little further on the road to Green Bay, about a half hour more for driving for him. Yeah, that was a long day. Nothing like a 19-hour day to just fry your brain. And then, of course, it was get up and go to Sunday school the next morning. It's a little crazy. little crazy. Now I'm on my way back down. This is their chapter meeting. They meet once a month, as does our chapter. And I was asked to speak on effective customer communications, which is a kind of a repackaging, reblending with some other things of a book called How to Talk to Customers, which I just loved when I first started at the service desk. A colleague of mine by the name of Nancy Stratton from Kimberly-Clark recommended this book, and I just fell in love with it. Great material. I can't remember. It's Diane Birnbaum and Barenbaum, and I can't remember the other author's name. But if you've ever got a chance to do it, or you're in any kind of service industry, go get How to Talk to Customers, whether it's internal support, external support, incoming calls, outgoing calls. It really is a wonderful program to follow. I had done this presentation that I will be doing tomorrow morning, which will be done by the time you hear this, at the HDI conference, national conference in Orlando back in March, and went over pretty well. The speaking of the national conference in Orlando, I'm headed back. I've been asked to speak again. I submitted 2-3 presentations, and one of them was selected. I call it Fired to Hired in 23 Days. It's a story with examples and practical exercises that you can do for your career management. And while it's not specific to the service desk industry, they asked me to speak at one of the, what do they call them, breakfast sessions, breakfast bites. Forgive me, I can't remember what they're called. That's the late night creeping in on me. Just coming up on Racine, Wisconsin. And yeah, I've got 45 minutes from 7:30 to 8:15 on Wednesday. I believe it's March 30th. I can't remember. This year it's being held in Las Vegas. Or excuse me, next year, 2011. The conference is being held in Las Vegas. Lots and lots of people at that national conference. And then I'm really honored to be speaking there again. A lot of lessons learned from last year. So as I am no longer with Plexus as the service desk manager, I have asked my current employer, ServiceNow.com, ding, they are an IT service management software solution. If you are in IT service management, you want me to take a look at them. Don't mean to put them as a commercial, but hey, they are my employer. Love the product, even when I was a customer, very loyal to them and their software. Anyway, they have agreed to cover my travel and lodging. Thank you. As the conference fee is waived for the speakers, and I will be. I have one commitment to the HDI officers meeting. I believe it's Tuesday afternoon. And then the rest of the time, I will be manning the booth. I talked to Matt French, who's one of our marketing people. ServiceNow will be having a booth there. I have never done a conference booth. Well, you know what? I shouldn't say that. I just remembered. I did. Years and years ago, in a former life and a half ago, My family ran a scuba diving charter business out of Munising, Michigan. We lived in Marquette. Munising was about 45 minutes away. Holy rabbit trails. Hang on for the ride. I think I might have mentioned this to you years and years ago. If those of you who know my history, I grew up in Marquette, Michigan, and worked at... my first job was actually for my dad, working at our dive shop. And we ran a scuba diving charter business out of Munising where there were shipwrecks in Lake Superior, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Anyway, we needed to get customers from the Midwest. So we would go down to Chicago for a conference, expo, whatever you want to call it, called Our World Underwater. And we had a booth there. I totally forgot about this. Our charter business was called Tomasi Tours. And, you know, somebody somewhere may have a light bulb going on. It's like, holy cow, I remember that. Yeah, did that. That was how we pay. My dad, very creative man, had a full-time job at Northern Michigan University. And this was a sideline job to help put the kids through college. Obviously, it worked. Can't complain. We worked weekends. We had a big enough family where we had generally worked one day of those two to crew the dive charter business from Memorial Day through the end of September. And, you know, I learned a lot of people skills on that job. I learned a lot of customer service skills that I take with me today. And like many other jobs that I've had in the past, I miss the people. I really do. If anybody is out there listening, every once in a while I cross paths with them. Anyway, that was my rabbit trail. I have manned a booth. Totally forgot about that. I will be serving in a technical capacity. Matt told me, be ready to sell. Said, I've been selling this product since before I was an employee. So they will be covering my travel and lodging to Las Vegas in March. Appreciate it very much. And I will be speaking on career management, fired to hired in 23 days. I'd bring that. If there's any programmers listening, they'll know what I mean when I just pop the stack about six levels on that one. Yeah, looking forward to it. The material is not new. I've done a similar presentation, but I can refine this based on my own experience from this last May, from transitioning from Plexus to ServiceNow.com. It was 23 days from the time I was fired to the time I got my offer. And a lot of tasks that I can share from there. And on the speaking front, not only am I going to Chicago tonight and also to Vegas in March, I've been asked by the local AITP student chapter at Fox Valley Technical College. Got to change lanes. There's a big tractor trailer in front of me, and there's a guy closing up behind. See, we, there we go. And for November, that one's going to be a little tricky. October is plagued with travel, but a lot of it's my own elective travel, such as the regional local chapter officer summit last Saturday, and the trip today. And when I get done with that, I got to zip back to Appleton Thursday afternoon, because Friday afternoon I've got our own local chapter meeting, Titletown HDI. Looking forward to that. We're having a panel on Windows 7 deployment experiences from various companies and organizations around the area. Then Friday night, I'm driving north about 4 hours to see my parents and a couple of brothers and sisters who are coming into town. We're going to try and make this a mini family reunion. A few brothers and sisters. I come from a large family of nine, and three of them cannot make it. One passed away some 25, 27 years ago, 28 years. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it is that time of year. It's October, 28 years ago. My sister Julie passed away when she was 24. My goodness, time does fly. Time does fly. So anyway, I'm really looking forward to Saturday spending time with my siblings. I expect to have a very sore abdomen Sunday, because when we get together, we laugh. We have a really good time. Tears coming down the faces, and not sure how many nieces and nephews will be there. I will be going up alone, no kids this weekend. But the following weekend, I'll be going back to Marquette, because Julie's going to be looking at Northern Michigan University in Marquette, where Donna and I went to college, and also Michigan Tech University. She's got a bit of a longer weekend, so I'll be joining them up there Friday night. So spending time this weekend with my parents and brothers and sisters, looking forward to that. And then, as I mentioned, November is going to be a little more traveling. I've got two penciled-in trips for a client of ours, a customer who's doing ServiceNow implementation. And first week of November looks like there's a trip to Albany, New York, and possibly some training later in, would that be the week of the 15th? Nice thing is, we travel Monday, we travel Friday, and we spend time with the customer Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So it doesn't impede on weekend time. One of the things I like about this company, among many other things. And I was asked to, if that second trip comes into play, then the Fox Valley Technical College speaking engagement, that was like a Tuesday lunch hour thing. may have to wait a little while longer. It's also going to impact the Fox City's manager's meeting, which has been doing rather well. I'm encouraged by both of those groups. Yes, I do a lot. If you want to find out exactly how much, go to chuckchat.com or chucktomasi.com and take a look at some of the volunteer and personal activities and whatnot, and you will get a good idea. So lots of speaking, lots of traveling this time of year, and it's just getting started. The student chapters asked me to speak, as has the other AITP chapter. That was originally supposed to happen in October. Did not happen. We couldn't nail down a topic in time. I'm not sure what happened there. They are hitting me up for topics in November, so we'll see if that comes to fruition as well. Where was I? Oh, yeah, way back in the beginning of this episode, as we come up on Kenosha now. I knew I was talking to you guys for a reason. This is making it this is making it fly by. If you go to chuckchat.com, you will notice a new sixth icon on that front page. We have Freestyle, this podcast, which is my oldest and longest, coming up on 6 years. It was about 6 years ago, somewhere around here, end of October, beginning of November, that I first heard about podcasts and subscribed and listened and said, hey, that's something I really want to do. That's something I gotta do. And December 11th is when I launched Freestyle, only it wasn't called Freestyle back then. It split off into Technorama on May 1st, 2005. A little later that year, Gmail Podcast was born. A little later, Radio Yesterday. And those four lived on for a good long time. And did a minor stint with Wiley Publishing for Podcasting for Dummies, which, incidentally, is still getting some interesting reviews on Amazon.com as recently as last week. T. Morris pointed it out to me in... Hey, I got to switch hands because the cruise control seems to have disengaged. See if I can get that thing back on track. There we go. And, what was I saying? Oh, T. Morris pointed out on Twitter to me today that we're still getting reviews on Amazon for Podcasting for Dummies. All of them good. I love those reviews. Thank you for those of you who put those in. Podcasting for Dummies, very honored to have been part of that. And as you know, Craig Stepp and I wrote Teach Yourself WordPress in 10 Minutes. Came out last March. And then in August and September, we touched it up a bit, and it's now being rebranded as Teach Yourself WordPress 3 in 10 Minutes. The podcast will not be changing names, but that was the fifth icon to go on there. We've put out now 5 or 6 shows, just short little 5-10 minute tips on things we find about WordPress that didn't make it into the book. I think we still have the old chapter 5 material to work in there, but since Craig and I cannot seem to coordinate our schedules on that, we've been doing individual shows, and I think I picked up the last 4 and ran with them, hoping that Craig can step up. He's going through a bit of a career, not reevaluation, but there's an opportunity open for him at his current place of employment that he's interested in. So trying to help him out, being encouraged, being positive about that, wish him all the best of luck on that, and hope that he finds the satisfaction and joy that I did in a similar role in the past. So where was I? Rewind back to WordPress in 10 minutes. So Craig and I have done Technorama together. We've done the WordPress podcast together. And while we were at Dragon Con, I think I mentioned this before, we came up with the idea to split the, how shall we say this, professional interviews, like we're professional interviewers, apart from the lighthearted, goofy stuff of Technorama's weekly show. Oh, goody, more road construction coming up. I'm waiting for winter to set in so we can get away from this stuff. It was pretty nasty up in Oshkosh, and another major foobar in on 894 just before it merged with 43 in Milwaukee. For those of you who travel that route regularly, you might want to stay away from those for a while. But anyway, We wanted to break the Technorama podcast into two, much like we did with the old Chuck Chat back in 2005 that became Freestyle and Technorama. Technorama will still have some interviews. I've got one edited and ready to go with Tom Smith, whom we met at Dragon Con. Great, fun musician. There's going to be music, which I haven't... I don't know if I ever did a music, any music in Technorama. Used to do Freestyle once in a while. Ooh, way back in the day, early 2005. But... we broke it off. The new podcast has been called Interface to Face. Episode zero has launched. iTunes has done a rapid turnaround with publishing our feed. It is live, and I am very excited to get this thing going. Seems like it's taken longer than it has, but you know, we be busy. It's been a busy September and October. The first episode has actually been edited and ready to go for quite some time. I'm just waiting for Craig to finish the artwork, which he graciously did this past week, which inspired me to submit it and get everything going. The website is still a little thin, I'll say. It looks like a pretty vanilla WordPress site. We did use the Simplicity theme, which I've used before on the Titletown HDI site. And I got a just quick plug for WordPress. Man, they are making things easier every day. Rebranded my TomasiFamily.org site with WordPress. Couldn't believe it. The 2010 theme is the default one, but there's one called 2010 Weaver, which is kind of like themes within a theme. And just so simple to use. So easy to throw up a banner graphic and change the colors, and you don't have to work. You don't have to be half the web designer that you used to be, knowing PHP and some CSS. It gets easier every day. Basically, if you can look up RGB color codes and plop them in, you can come up with some pretty intense stuff. Unique, original, brand it yourself. Maybe change it annually if you want, but still keep the same thing. So, really happy with WordPress. Interface to Face, we've got the first episode with Edward James Olmos. Very excited. This was recorded at Dragon Con. Craig and I sound really tired. It was like 8:30 in the morning after a long night, and it was Dragon Con, and we were dragging our butts pretty bad. So the first was going to start out pretty subdued. The second one with Gil Gerard was in the same room. It was the Walk of Fame where all the guests are. And it was a lot noisier. It was later in the day. It was actually recorded first. It was recorded on a Friday afternoon, and Edward was Saturday morning. Don't ask why we put them out in that order. Just the way I wanted to edit them. And I think Edward maybe has a little more geek pull than the others. You can find Interface to Face on chuckchat.com, same place as else, as everything else. And really looking forward. I hope to have that launched Friday. If not, it's actually in draft. Everything is ready to go. All I got to do is say publish, and it's done. So if I think about it, I could probably just do that from my phone in the next 10 minutes, but I'm not going to. I'm going to keep talking to you because just about to get into Illinois. Or am I in Illinois? I don't know. I'm still on 94, waiting for the 294 pull-off. Got my little Chicago iPass thing so I can zip through the toll gates. It's now after 11. I've got another 52 miles to the hotel. I'm not going to talk to you for another 52 miles, so I appreciate you sticking with me. Very excited about Interface to Face launching. Yeah, it is another podcast. We've got one fully edited and ready for release. We've got the raw audio for two more. Gil Gerard, as I mentioned, and one guy by the name of Jay Walt, who does some really interesting, call them psychedelic computer impromptu shows. We talk more about it on the podcast. I also have one for Technorama that's ready to release, an interview. We haven't done one in a while with Tom Smith that I mentioned from Dragon Con. funny musician. Starting to sound like a broken record at this point. But lots of interviews to get going. But yet, I still feel like there's not enough in the queue. I must have written down a dozen contacts and grabbed a bunch of cards and passed out a bunch of cards. Just having a hard time scheduling them. We're still working on Billy West. We've been getting this one from before Dragon Con. I think August, maybe even late July, before the concept of the second podcast was even conceived. And yet we seem to be in this dry spell for getting the interviews. So while I've got a whole bunch to still produce, I feel like that well could dry up really fast. The pipeline just isn't consistent at this point. And Craig and I need to keep cracking on this. Here comes the, I think this is the 294 exit. Not really exit, it's kind of where the Illinois Tollway begins here. So, a little uneasy there. The other thing that's got me uneasy is some of the things at work. As I mentioned, I was using the software for a couple of years prior to going to the company, implemented as a customer, but it was very focused. It's kind of like an accounting package for IT management, IT service management. In accounting, you've got accounts receivable, accounts payable, general ledger, a payroll, you know, different facets. And while they integrate to deliver accounting, that's the way this software is also. Incident management for your break fix, problem management for your larger scale problems, determining root cause and whatnot, change management to instantiate a change request and get that through the approval and the workflows behind that, release management for releasing those changes to production, project management, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's a big piece of software. Service catalog for people ordering items consistently. Service management for managing your service level agreements. Yeah, there's a lot to IT service management that I didn't know just a couple years ago. I feel like I've learned a whole lot. Part of that is from HDI. Part of it is working with this software. Part of it is networking with colleagues. Very, very good learning experience. But there's still a lot more to learn. The actual implementation of a lot of this stuff is unbelievable. We did, in my previous role, we implemented incident because we needed a break fix ticketing system. And we needed service catalog to let people order laptops and phones and account requests and new employee hires to put a whole bunch of those things together. And there was still a long way to go. We started scratching the surface on problem management and change management when the change for me happened. And now I'm being asked to implement a lot of these things. And actually, I did incident management, and another gentleman where I worked did a lot of the service catalog. So he knew the graphical workflow engine very well. He knew how to put together service catalog forms really well and trick them out so that certain fields are hidden when you select other certain fields. Very awesome job. And now I have to fill in a lot of those gaps for myself because I'm being asked to implement them for the customers. Yeah, I've got a call next Monday to talk to one of our customers and show them how some of these things work. Show them how service level management works. I didn't do service level management in the last 2 years. So it's been a lot of, here comes the first iPass toll gate, been a lot of read the documentation, which is all in Wiki, so it's very easy to jump around, lots of pictures, very nice, easy, very well kept up to date. It's been a lot of practicing on my own demo instance, and fortunately, a lot of help from my coworkers. Very awesome. You know, send out an email and say, how do you get a hold of a variable in the graphical workflow engine so you can say, if root access required, then a second level of approval is required from the director. get an email back, he tells me, and I go on my merry way. So I'm feeling a little more confident than I was just a few days ago. Wow, there, I don't know what happened, but 294 is like empty this time of day. Of course, who's out driving at 11:10 on a Thursday night or Wednesday night? Truckers. Like, looking out of the other side going northbound, I see about six pair of headlights and four of them are big 18-wheelers, and behind me is about the same ratio. So, coming up on Great America. You know, Saturday morning, I really wish we had our camera this past Saturday when Bob and I were driving down. My digital SLR would have been fun to have, because as we were coming down the same stretch of road, about 6:30 a.m., 7 a.m., the sky was just starting to get light, and there was a fog, a nice low-lying fog, and the amusement park, Six Flags Great America, off to the east was silhouetted against the morning sky, and I could have just stood there. I wish I had 15, 20 minutes either in the park or just out on the highway to set up my tripod and take some long exposure pictures, because they were awesome. For Halloween, the amusement park decorates. They've got giant inflatable spiders that they put on one of their old wooden roller coasters called the American Eagle. And on their lookout tower that goes up, kind of a circular carousel thing that goes up, I believe it's 180 feet? I could be wrong. They've got an inflatable King Kong at the top. And, you know, just to see those silhouetted against the morning sky was just so beautiful. It's going to have to be one of those things that lives on in my memory, much like the trip to Portland, Oregon in 1989 when I was flying out. One of the trips that I really, really wish I had my camera. Of course, at the time, I wasn't shooting digital in 1989. It was, I had an SLR for a couple of years. My parents gave it to me for college graduation present. I still have that camera. I don't shoot it. In fact, I've got a roll of 35 millimeter film that I need to develop. I got to figure out where I can go with that. I think Target might still do that, but I'm not sure where. Maybe if you know where I can send some 35 millimeter film in, please let me know. I've got a roll that I have no clue what's on it. It was in that Yashica camera about 5 years ago. Now that I think about it, I got to remember where that roll of film is. I think it's in the cupboard to the left of the refrigerator. But yeah, I could have stayed here and just watched that. 1989, back to that. Told you I'd be jumping around a little bit. Tired. It's late. I should have been asleep like an hour ago. Is it my imagination or is the tower actually moving? No, it's not. Okay. I thought maybe the carousel, it's lit up on the inside, but some strobes or something going off. Maybe they have a Halloween thing going on. But 1989, as the plane was taking off on my trip back from Mentor Graphics for my admin training, that was a long time ago. There was a cloud cover, maybe a couple hundred feet, and then the plane taking off out of Portland broke through that cloud cover, and all that was sticking up was Mount Rainier in the north, Mount Hood, and we banked right around the crater of Mount St. Helens, and you could. And I was on a window seat looking right down into that crater. You know, this was only, 9 years after it had erupted? And it still looked like the desolate moonscape of the day it was erupted. Just a magnificent picture that I will never forget that. And much like the view from this past Saturday, one of those times, I wish I had a camera, but I'm sure a camera wouldn't have done it justice. So, I am officially in Illinois. I now have 40 miles left to go. And this podcast is probably one of the longest freestyle I have done in a very, very long time. In fact, my phone, 35 minutes. My phone is, I'm recording this on the iPhone. There was a time I don't have my H, oh, I think I, no, I don't have my H2 with me. It's in the studio. But the iPhone does a pretty good job. It's only mono, but hey, most of my podcasts are mono anyway, unless there's music or something. Microphones in general are mono. So, haven't talked computer tech in a while. Okay, one more thing before I go. This will probably take me the next 20 minutes or so. The Apple keynote was today, and I wanted to know what they had. I don't get to watch keynotes. In fact, they haven't webcast a lot of them live lately. In fact, this phone that I'm talking on was announced the day I started at ServiceNow. The iPhone 4 was announced on June 7th. Another date I'll remember forever. But they were introducing some new things for the Mac. That was the guts of their presentation. They introduced iLife 11, which has some really neat stuff in that. I'm really got to consider upgrading again. $49, seriously, for an upgrade? For what they give you? GarageBand doesn't bring a whole lot to podcasters. It's, you know, I could still be working on GarageBand 3 from 2004, or whatever it was back then, for the use I get out of it. But for musicians, a lot of neat things to fix timing. iMovie, they finally got the audio right. That was a major complaint among people, especially when they went from iMovie, what was it, 8? iMovie 6 to 8, I think, or iMovie, whatever it was. When they went from version numbers to version years, the first release was horrible. The second release was a little better, and I think that's iMovie 10 now. iMovie 11, way, way better audio controls for bringing things up and bringing things down. Be nice if they had some kind of RMS leveling control in there to just let you do one touch, but I'm sure what they've got is close enough, because if you're just manipulating 4-second clips, they got a neat feature in there that lets you do movie trailers. The demo was a little long, but it was quick enough that he could put together a complete movie trailer with explanations, a little 30-second thing, I think it was. The takeaway I got out of that is that it's going to force people to think about how they film, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Most people, when they're creating home movies, just let the thing run and you'll get 10 minutes of just blah. You know, who would watch it again? When you watch... Once you've done a couple of films, and I'm no film expert by any means, a lot of what I learned was either by trial or error, or from a gentleman named Neil when we did the National Park Service podcast class last April. There you go, full circle. I think I started talking about this back in Milwaukee. I did the audio part, and he did the film part. If you watch a lot of documentaries or shows, or there's never too many clips that are more than about 4 seconds. 4 seconds! And you've got to tell a story using these short, short clips. The narration can go over that, but making the trailers is actually kind of fun. They've got a whole bunch of pre-canned stuff, and it's real easy. But it'll ask for certain clips. It says, give me a close-up. You know, if I'm doing a family thing, give me a close-up of Chuck. Okay, put in a close-up of Chuck. And they've taken the face recognition from iPhoto and blended it into iMovie. So it knows where the close-up shots are, and it will highlight those for you and categorize them for you. So, you know, it says, give me a close-up of Chuck. You can go to the category thing, and it says, I just want close-ups. Oh, there's Chuck. And you get your pick. So if I'm thinking in a mode when I'm making the material that's what I need, I will get a better end product. A lot of people don't think about that, and that's why the end product suffers. But if you really if you're going to make something that you want to show later, you have to give a little bit of thought beforehand. And don't short on the audio, because without good audio, a video is pretty much useless. You're going to have to cover it up with music or something, or overdub it. We learned this lesson the hard way when Craig and I were at the Computer History Museum and actually had to do some overdubbing, which came out as comedy material. But I was watching a podcast called, it was on the New and Notable, I think. It was big banner at the top of the iTunes Music Store. Getting Into Words or something like that. And of course, it's got a beautiful blonde on the cover, so who's not going to click on that? Or what man isn't going to click on that? And their audio stunk, man. The girl was doing most of the narration. She was talking away, and they were using the built-in microphone on the camcorder when they could have easily, for $50, go get yourself a wireless microphone and hook it up to the people that are talking. So where was I? iMovie? iMovie's cool. iPhoto is full frame. They got a little bit of a sneak peek into Lion, which is the new operating system 10.7 of OS X. Nice features there. They've learned a lot from the iPad, iPhone days, and not only blended the iOS operating system into this thing and made Expose and Spaces. And I apologize if you're not a Mac listener and you've kind of tuned out at this point, but there are some really cool things that Apple's learned. Their market share is growing. Their revenue is growing. Their stock is growing. They hit a 52-week high this last week. Thank goodness I own some of that. And they got it right. They're very innovative. The MacBook Air came out. And just cool stuff that makes me want to keep buying their stuff. Despite the fact that I just bought two MacBooks for the girls this last week. Or 2 weeks ago. Unfortunately, I don't think they have a grandfather clause in recent purchases. Sometimes they do that on operating systems. Like, if you bought your laptop in the last 30 days and we just upgraded our operating system, you can get a free upgrade. I don't think they're doing that with iLife, and frankly, you know, what's $49 in the grand scheme of things? So, alright. That was my technology roundup for the Apple keynote. I know, that dragged it on, what, another 7-8 minutes, but it's great to talk to you. I will let you know how the Chicagoland conference goes when I talk to you next. Likely it will be on my drive up or drive back from the Upper Peninsula in Michigan, which I happen to be wearing my Northern Michigan Wildcats hockey t-shirt tonight, as I am an alumni of Northern Michigan University. Oh, there's one more thing. Oh, yeah, I needed to talk to you because I'm tired. As I mentioned before, it's been a long day. Sometimes I can sneak in a quick 15-20 minute nap, like over my lunch hour or lunch half hour or whatever it happens to be. No such luck tonight. And there was a double, if not triple, conflict tonight where I had to go travel on this trip, but I also had karate. And I've got a module test next Tuesday that I need to get as much practice in. Mostly sparring and forms. Forms I'm not too worried about. The sparring, it's not my forte, but I do it. And yeah, I got very, very pumped doing that tonight. There was also an AITP meeting, so I had to make a decision which way to go there. If I'd gone to the AITP meeting, that would have got done about the same time as karate at 8:30. And yeah, just tiring. As I was getting through Milwaukee, I was listening to some podcasts, and that can usually keep me awake. The other trick is roll down the window, but you know, it's actually getting warmer. I suppose that happens when you go south. I left Appleton, it was 44. Now I'm up to 50. And I got the heater on in the van. Maybe that's making a difference. Thankfully, traffic is light. I'll be heading back tomorrow afternoon. I don't know when I'm going to get some sleep. Hopefully the six and a half hours will do wonders here. 28 miles to go, just under 29 miles to go to the hotel. and 45 minutes on this podcast, way longer than a freestyle should be. So I'm going to let you go. Thank you for listening. It's been great talking to you. Lots of good news. Very exciting stuff coming up. And stay tuned. Until next time, binary high five, 101.